Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up? What's up? Everybody, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this fine Monday. And wow. What a weekend, filled with hatred, filled with protesting. I thought that we as Americans were supposed to pull together and make America the great country it is, but yet we have the haters out in full force and protesting everywhere. Is there a solution to this? Is there something that was going to change? I mean, you know, what doesn't make sense to me is the very people that use the country for their advantage have now become major haters. And, you know, as we've talked about many, many times before, I mean, we are Americans first, Americans first. We are supposed to defend our country first. But yet we have now are basically at war with ourselves. Does that not weaken a nation when you can't even get together on your own? I don't understand where these people are coming from. I understand their distaste, but they should have voted. They should have been out there in force creating. But obviously, the opposing candidate was not any better. So where is it that we finally can just say that this is America, all for one and one for all, until the next election? I have no problem with anything. I mean, you know, again, that is the beauty of being an American. You do have the freedom. You are protected by the Constitution to go ahead and protest and go ahead and have free speech. But are we really doing any good by continuing to fight something that's basically over already? I mean, you know, are we going to continue to have the left continue to make statements about, even if you go to the speech, you know, if you listen to one station, they tell you the speech was hateful, and you listen to another, they say the speech was great. I mean, what happened to real news where you reported the news and you let people make a decision instead of now the news is supposed to be your opinion? And I think that's a tragedy that we have lost the ability to make our own decision, and we need the news media and whatever side is you're watching force us to or convince us that their side is the correct side. I think that is a tragedy. I think it's sad that we no longer have, you know, the freedom of, you know, this is my opinion and I'm entitled to it. You know, I'm worried about the weakening nation. I'm worried about that the Elizabeth Warrens of the world and the Bernie Sanders of the world, the ones who I never worked for anything but was able to take money from the government for my whole life. To me, that becomes a bigger concern. And you know, again, I see all the reasons in the world to be on either side, but I don't think that the way that we're heading right now is where we should be heading. I think we should be trying to make America prosperous again. Okay. And, you know, I think we should be creating jobs again. I think we should be creating growth again. And I don't see that. I don't see those things happening. And what I really see happening is one of the concerns I've had in the past was that even though our president has a Republican House and a Republican Senate, these guys are going to be more worried about their votes. And I think that a lot of this protesting may force them to vote the wrong way. So in my opinion, and this is where the problem with the whole political system is they're going to be bullied and muscled into changing what they think is right because they want to make sure that they get re-voted in. They want to get re-elected. And I think that that becomes the bigger tragedy in life when my direct opinion of what I think should be done is controlled because I'm worried about losing my next election. I think that becomes an overall bigger story when we worry about things like that. I think that, you know, again, the biggest thing, the best thing you can do here, no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, is to hope that we get back to a prosperous nation and we get everything that we need done versus worrying about whether or not, you know, Donald Trump is a bad guy or not a bad guy, or whether or not he did this or he did that. I think that is a much bigger problem. I don't understand why people hate somebody who's a free thinker and is not from a political background. I think we've seen what a true political background has done to this country. It has destroyed a lot of the things that we all strive to get. And if you're happy, you know, not being able to, you know, become an entrepreneur anymore, if you're happy with not having the opportunities to grow your own business, then yes, and you want to be part of that communist socialist regime. But certainly, I don't know anybody who would want to live under that type of setup. Okay. I mean, I think that, you know, the original, you know, Democrat was actually more like a Republican. And I think that, you know, I think we've gone too far from separating where we should be, which is down the center. We all have issues, but we shouldn't be so far apart because we all have one common goal, I hope. And that is that the betterment of our country, no matter who's in office. And I think that we've become too much involved in things that are not important to the majority, but more importantly to the minority. And I think that is where we are starting to see far too many problems here because we don't let the system work the way it's supposed to work. I think that we've done too much damage and have not allowed the major workings of an overall economy, a government, and the way that we live. And that, I think, is going to be the bigger story, because if we don't get past all this and we're going to see protesting for the next 4 years, then of course we're not going to get anything done. And I think we are at a point of desperation to get things done, get things cleaned up, and really get America back on the right track and remove the distance between being a Democrat and being a Republican and make it more about the ideals that each particular person has and what their goals are for the country. I don't know anybody who should want their goals to be how much free money that they can give out. I don't know that we should be worried about that. I think we should be more worried about, you know, where is the next step and how can we retain and regain the strength, the respect, and the overall views of the number one power in the world. I mean, America is the greatest place in the world. And until we recognize and quit with the crap and the hatred, it's sad that we just have so much hatred out there that we can't seem to get past it. And that's what I believe to be the bigger problem of everything, is all of the hatred that is floating around. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm will get you a download of the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And BubbaTrading.com will get you some great information and help you become a better investor, a better trader, and be able to take advantage of the certain situations that are going on. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to stop right here for a break, and I will be right back at the break. Bye.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Kaching Report, and all about town and, of course, in the buzz of New York and in the buzz of the new president, the inauguration.
Yeah.
What are you thinking there, Jane King?
Well, yes, a new era for the U.S. economy, new era for the stock market. I mean, I think it's good. I think some of his policies are good. I love the fact that he's a doer. I love the fact that he's doing his first dance to My Way, because that's kind of how he's going to have to do it, I think, and that's what he's done so far, is just kind of plow through and get stuff done and not listen to all the critics and try to please everybody and just do what needs to be done. So I think this could be great for the tax structure, could be wonderful for small business, could be great for just the overall economy, just like freeing up some cash and really rewarding entrepreneurs.
You know, I really think it's cool. I think it's cool how hard the guy works. I mean, he is
oh, my gosh. He's my work hero. I mean, when I think about just, you know, when I'm tired, and I mean, not only like is he putting in these amazing hours, and he's never been sick, he's never lost his voice, he is taking incoming fire from everywhere. I mean, that must just be, I mean, the guy is like Teflon. He can get through anything. I mean, it's amazing, and I hope to have as much stamina as he does someday.
Isn't it amazing? And don't you, do you feel, now I feel that he really has a tremendous love for the country, and he genuinely cares about what he's trying to do, and he is just really going to do everything he can to try to make, as he likes to put it, America great again. You get that same feel?
I think so. I mean, I think he understands what it took to make this country what it was, which was just entrepreneurship and hard work and just, you know, having stamina and overcoming odds and continuing to try and independence, not relying on the handouts of the government or anybody else. And just, I mean, all those things went together to make the United States what it is. I mean, there's no country like it in the world. And he sees that fading away like many of us do. And so I think he's trying to bring that back.
And I hope he does. And do you think, obviously, there's a lot of haters out there. And of course, you've had a lot of, you know, protesting and all the crap. Do you think that these people maybe will finally at least put America first? Because at the end of the day, you're not a Democrat, you're not a Republican, you're not left or right, you're an American. And it's in everybody's best interest to have a strong America. Do you think that these idiots can put their BS on the side now for and at least try to make the country better? Or do you think they will continue to be a thorn in the side of Trump and the entire country?
Well, I think it's going to take a while. I mean, I think he's just going to have to shut him up through actions. I mean, he's going to have to just, at some point, I mean, if his policies, you know, as many of us think, will be effective in terms of creating jobs and driving the stock market higher and hopefully improving schools in the inner city, if those things, you know, do start working, and that we're not going to know for a few years, that's what's finally, they're just going to get tired. I mean, they're going to realize that, you know, they don't have anybody on their side, and they're just going to get tired of doing what they're doing. But I'm amazed they've held on as long as they have. I mean, it's, you know, it's incredible. Like, all these protests, there's always going to be some, and there's always going to be something to pick apart about anything. No matter how great it is, there's something. And so I imagine he's going to have a lot of critics throughout. I mean, like any president does, but he's got a number of critics and people who are just trying anything they can to make him fail.
Right. And you know, listen, you know, I think it's going to be great, and I think that he's going to do a lot of things he said, but I do believe that the market, the stock market initially will have some struggles here. I think that, you know, we've had an overly big rally because of it. We've got a lot of promises out there, but unfortunately, politics becomes politics again after all the excitement. And, you know, some of his policies, some of the things that he wants to do, even his own Republican House and Republican Senate are not going to let some of these things go through, because, of course, it would cost them votes and they might lose their next election. So they're not going to be so anxious. Do you put any creed in that, or am I out of my mind?
Well, I think, you know, some of the Republicans that are in districts that can go either way may be not so eager to approve, you know, certain cabinet members. But I think they're all going to get through in the end. I think we're going to see some major changes come through. We're going to see a correction of just all the overregulation that we've had. I mean, this is insane. Like the EPA and the healthcare stuff. I mean, I'm very curious to see his healthcare proposal. Of course, I'm directly affected by Obamacare. I not liked it. It hasn't been good for me or my family. So I think, you know, it's going to be hard, but I think he can do it. I mean, he's proven that he's got the stamina to get through this stuff and to fight. So that's half of the battle right there.
No, I think, look, like I said, hopefully all these things will become, because, you know, one of the things that I find to be the biggest problems in America today is all the overregulation. And I'm not even talking about like the banks are overregulated, but even to the compliance officers in the securities business, you know, you can't even be a small guy or a small gal in that business, because you've got to take somebody and pay $100,000 or $200,000 a year in a salary just to have somebody look over your shoulder every day. And I think that's made things a lot tougher for business to really start and grow, because there's just so much cost that doesn't bring you back any money, right? I mean,
right. I mean, it's all just, I mean, you know, there's been a couple of business opportunities that I've had with my media business to do videos for like financial advisors and things like that. And it's always failed because of compliance. Like, and it's not even really any good reason. You know, I'm not touting stocks. I mean, I'm not, you know, doing anything insider information, but it's just everybody is so nervous about this that they just don't want to take any chances at all. And that's killed a lot of deals. So hopefully that will loosen up a little bit. We can actually start to move money around. People can actually pursue ideas without feeling like they're hitting a roadblock every which way they turn.
Well, yeah, I mean, it becomes, you know, it just becomes so hard to create successful opportunities for the average guy because of the overwhelming cost. And then you take the regulations that are in the bank, so it's hard to get money. And it's hard to try to run a business off of a credit card, because, as you know, the usury rates that you end up paying on a credit card become extremely high and are very expensive, so you can't really afford it. And I'm hoping that we now see this, you know, influx of new entrepreneurs, new businesses, because I think we can get there if we can bring down some of the costs and some of these regulations. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, when you think about how companies grow, how economies operate, I mean, you know, Apple started in a garage, supposedly. I think there's some dispute about that, but no doubt about it. It was a small company. It was two guys, right, that had an idea and tinkered around with stuff. I mean, that's the way amazing companies get started. And if everything is so hard from the very beginning, and it's hard enough. It's hard enough to develop a brand and to get people to take your calls and return your emails and raise capital and get your product made and get it out there and do a sale. And if you've got the government also standing in the way and just making everything overly difficult and expensive, I mean, a lot of people are just going to be like, forget about it. I mean, I'm just, why bother? And so that is the kind of stuff that I think is going to get freed up. People can actually pursue their creative ideas, their intellectual inspirations. And we could see some amazing companies get started over the next 10 years or so.
Like the Jane King Financial Podcasting for Kids. How's that going?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to be talking to the financial writer from the New York Times next week. So he wrote a book, The Opposite of Spoiled, and just has a lot of great stories about, you know, what families do to try to help teach their kids about financial education. And so that's going to be the next one. And we're just looking forward to passing along some of these stories. I mean, it's just parents sharing stories. It's great stuff.
Well, I mean, it is. And I think that your idea is phenomenal. And how does somebody get your podcast if they want to get it?
It's called Ka-Ching with Jane King. So you just go to iTunes or Google Play and do a search for it. And voila, it's right there. Easy to download. Super fun and super good info.
Super fun and super good info, like having Jane King on The Bubba Show. Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, Financial Literacy for Kids. Thanks, Jane. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you, Todd.
And, you know, that financial literacy for kids, you know, again, I continue to beat the drum that the talk with children shouldn't be about the birds and the bees, but it should be about finances. Because, again, what are we seeing even today? We have trouble with finances, whether you be a small independent or whether you be the government. We don't understand finance. And, of course, the less we understand, the more trouble that we create. And the more risk you put yourself by being not literate about finances. And I think that becomes an issue that needs to be addressed by all. And I think that it's the best to start it in the youth, because if you learn it, you bring it with you and then you pass it down. And that, to me, is a much bigger story So make sure you check out Jane's financial podcast for kids. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of the show every single day. And of course, you can get the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com and see what we're doing. We got a lot of great things happening, and we're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the expert for The Bubba Show. And, of course, Matt, what's up, my man?
I'm good. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great. So we've now got everything out of the way. We had the inauguration, and now we've got a market that is really entrenched in what I've read to be the tightest volatility in the history of tracking volatility. What are you seeing out there, man?
Yeah. Volatility is so low, and at the same time, the skew index is near all-time highs, which is, you know, just sort of a measure of tail risk. So, you know, somebody out there is nervous about something, and they're buying, you know, far out of the money puts. But yeah, other, you know, it's really a strange setup too when you have volatility this low and skew up this high. But so far, I'm not seeing a reason we need to sell off right away. But you know, one could come out of, you know, left field, something we don't necessarily expect.
Well, I mean, I think that will be. I mean, I've been, my opinion all along has been, from a fundamental standpoint, I mean, there's no reason the market should be at this high, and we know what the data is, so that's not going to change. So it is going to be, in my opinion, something out of left field that will actually create the market sell-off when it does come. I mean, we both know that, forget about anything else, just from a mathematical standpoint, the market is going to have a sell-off at some point. There's going to be some profit-taking. The question is how deep will it be, and when, where will it come from, and when will it come? But it will be something that is, I think, totally not even accounted for in today's market. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, usually the big moves are, like, you just don't, it's not something that's on the economic calendar that everybody expects, you know, is one decision or another. Yeah, it's usually something that, you know, could happen, but nobody has a firm date or idea what it's going to be.
So as you look at things, what do you see going on? What are the banks doing right now? What's going on in that part of the trading world?
Well, they're loading up on volatility futures. So in the past 2 weeks, they've bought 16,000 VIX contracts, which takes them over the 100,000 mark. And so now they have more contracts than they did prior to the, you know, May 2015 to August sell-off. That was a pretty deep one. That was about 12%. So they have more now than they did then. So that's fairly bearish. But they have been higher. So that's what the banks are doing as far as VIX. They're also still heavily short all the major U.S. indices. And, you know, at some point we're going to see a sell-off. I think it's not as far as, you know, my technicals. At this point, I think we can just grind higher to final highs. And we'll just be so overbought at that point that we could see a, you know, a major meltdown. But, you know, it could go either way. I mean, we could sell off first, and then we'll still have to get up to these higher highs. And in the, you know, the S&P, I've been saying it's about 5% higher. Same thing with the Dow; it's a little bit less, about 4%. and Russell, NASDAQ's about 7%.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I've actually written over the last couple of days that we are 100% for sure going to break out of this tight range, and I would not be surprised to see a quick break higher on a whatever, some jubilant rally, whatever it would be, that would force them to new highs, and then I could see the pattern immediately reversing and then starting to make the markets break. But we have seen over the last few days, although as slight as it may be, we are starting to see lower highs and lower lows, though. Does that give you any concern?
Well, I think the way I'm looking at it is the lower highs and lower lows are so tightly grouped. It looks to me like a downward chopping coil, which is going to spring to the upside. If it just goes a little bit lower, it'll break the look of that coil, and then it will be broken, and then we can really drop off the map at that point. But at this point, I think it still looks bullish to me.
You know, I mean, I have no real opinion other than I hate the market from my standpoint, just because I know that there's a sell-off nearer. And the problem with the markets today, with the lack of volatility, it makes it much more it makes it harder to want to be long, because even if you're right, you don't necessarily get a big enough move, and if you're wrong, you just get toasted. And that's what I look at the level of the markets here from my standpoint. You know, somebody asked me the other day, why is it bad to buy options in a low volatility market? I said, because typically, even if you're right, if you don't get a big enough move in the stock, it's not going to matter. You're still going to lose money, because again, everybody's accounting for so much complacency that the markets can only go higher at this point the way it's looking right now. And certainly I wouldn't be surprised, but I'd hate to be trapped on the wrong side here. I mean, my view is I'm recommending that you watch from the sidelines. Other than you're investing, I mean, I just think you always should be invested because you hedge, so you don't have to worry about it. But I mean, from a trader standpoint, I'm advising you stay out and kind of watch, the major indices, because I don't see them exploding. They might grind higher, which is what they've done, but it's very hard to make money in a grind when you have to look at the risk that you're exposing yourself to. What do you think?
I agree 100%. I wouldn't be recommending either that to go unhedged long here. I think that would just be there's just way too many things that could go wrong, and the downside risk is much greater than the upside gain. So the way we're handling it is Russell 2000, we're short. We've been talking about that for a while. So far it's peaked December 9th, and it hasn't gone any higher. Just kind of chopped over the last 5 weeks. And it's made slightly lower lows. We've done well there. What we've done is we've added a NASDAQ long to our Russell short. So NASDAQ's been going up, that's been working, and Russell's been falling, that's been working. So we're hedged that way. But we wouldn't be directionally betting just straight up.
Now, what are you seeing throughout the globe? I mean, is what's the Euro stocks been doing, and what's some of the other things that you've been watching doing?
Euro stocks, as far as I can tell, has already peaked. The way where it peaked too is an inclining line. It's relatively flat, but I don't think we're going to go much higher. We could make slightly newer highs, but they're kind of trivial. So I think Euro stocks 50 is done. I think Nikkei is trying to get to 20,000. It's almost, it hasn't quite made it. The CAC looks pretty much done. So does the DAX. So Europe looks, pretty much complete. Nikkei has a little bit more, and, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the bigger challenge here is just the light volume and the lack of any price volatility. I mean, not only do we not have VIX volatility, but we don't have really price volatility either. I think the interesting things, if we look back at last week, was although the markets tried to sell off a few times and could have, but never really followed through, volatility kept basically falling. And for the week, I think the VIX was up like less than a fraction, and the markets are down a little bit, which is unusual as well, especially if you're expecting to see some potential fear here. What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, everything across the board that you look at is kind of flashing a danger signal. Sentiment's overly bullish. Short interest is extremely low. It's as low as it was in 2007, prior to the big problems we had in 2007 and 2008. you know, everything you want to see, like, and, you know, you look at what the market makers and VIX options are doing. They're betting on heavily on higher VIX soon. So, you know, everything lines up in a bearish direction.
And yet we go higher, which is probably why, because it's obviously expected. And, you know, of course, you know, markets do feed off of themselves. And if the trade is trying to be short, typically the markets will at least hold here. But I do think that there will be some overwhelming problems. But, of course, you know, trying to exactly time it, you know, as we watch, I mean, we've watched, you know, oil. And oil finally looked like last week it was going to start to head lower, and then all of a sudden found the reason to have a spike on Friday. Now, that doesn't mean much, except it did not violate and break down either. So what do you see there?
Oil, I think, has a bit, you know, more to go to the upside. I think it's going to get to roughly 56 and change as of today. It's a declining target, which we talk about. I've had to adjust it for March futures, but it's about 56.30, it's declining by about 10 cents per day. That's our target. That's where we're looking to get short again. We were short for the, you know, this move down, and then we covered. We didn't go long, but we covered our position. But we're just looking to get short again. The one thing that is a little bit is kind of strange to me is, you know, I'm big picture bearish on oil, but we have XLE not at a peak for us. We think XLE's got a bit more to go.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be surprising. I mean, again, obviously you should never be surprised by market action. I think that's what catches people off guard. And trying to trade those things, I think that you have to be, you know, willing to identify levels that you're looking for and either wait for them to appear or you try to work your way into those positions. But you know, those are things that happen all the time. But in the meantime, we are with our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, who's pretty much spot on in the markets and uses his own unique methods that bring out these patterns and charts for you. And we're going to stop by here for a break. But in the meantime, check out LibertyTalk.fm and make sure that you download the Bubba Show every day so you get to listen to Matt and hear what he's got to say. And, of course, then there's BubbaTrading.com, which is, you know, we continue to write for you and try to educate and help you become a better trader and investor. In the meantime, we are going to stop by here for a break with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we're going to come back with more from Mr. Demeter and more of what he thinks about the grain markets and the livestock markets after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, of course, you know, we've seen gold make a fairly nice up move again and continues to work its way higher. I know that you believe there's probably one more leg down, but you did say that we could go higher here. How much higher do you think we can go in gold from here?
Well, I think we can get up to about 1,300. I'm still bullish on gold. You know, we've been bullish gold and silver for the past, you know, this past rally for the past 3 weeks. But yeah, longer term, we think it has not bottomed. But as far as near term upside, I'm looking at around, you know, 1,300. I think is a reasonable target. You know, levels all the way up, but I think we could get that high. One thing that was really interesting in the last COT report is that the commercials actually covered some of their shorts into strength, which they almost never do. So they have a, you know, they range from being, you know, just basically neutral to slightly short to very short. And right now they are just slightly short. So it's a bullish setup, historically speaking. And, you know, usually you see gold move up and they short into it. In this case, we're I don't know, $50 higher, $35 higher, something like that. And the commercials have less short interest now than they did at the bottom. So it's pretty unique. So, you know, we're bullish still of gold and silver. Silver in particular, I think silver has more upside than gold. You know, I think at some point it's going to reverse and we're going to see, you know, lower lows again. But for right now, I think, you know, we're good being bullish.
I mean, we're actually almost we're actually almost $90 off of the bottom. So, you know, we continue to work our way higher. And, you know, again, I would expect to see some sort of flattening here just for a little while. I mean, again, I would think, you know, you'd expect some trade. But, of course, volatility affects all products. And, of course, gold has been just gently climbing, you know, basically on a steady move up. And, you know, it's interesting. I think the most interesting product, though, over the last week or so has been the soybeans. I mean, they've had about an 8.5% rally. What do you see there?
Going back to gold, yeah, you're right. We're up about $90. I have all these numbers running around my head, but basically over the past $35 to $50, I think is what I'm talking about, where they've actually reduced the commercials reduced their short position. The soybeans, I think, could run a bit higher. I'm looking at about 11.20, I think. You can take a look, actually. But yeah, I think we have higher to run in soybeans. Corn broke above a pivot level as well, so it could run some more. We're not trading it just because I don't think we have a good risk-reward set up right now. I'm seeing things are a bit overbought. Stochastics are up near the 90s, so it could, you know, it has room, but I think it may be limited in the short term.
Oh, no, I mean, look, it's funny. Every time, you know, all the big experts are calling for soybeans in the 7 handle, and, of course, now they're in the 11 handle instead, or going to be in the 11 handle, but that's the interesting thing we watch. And, of course, the agriculture, the livestock markets, you know, cattle continues to try to push higher. I mean, it's rather an amazing pattern now that we're seeing in cattle that just continues to push and push with really no relent. What do you see there?
Cattle, you know, I've been turning bearish on the livestock, on the meats, and we're actually short hogs. Looking at cattle, it's a bit extended here. I would think it would pull back. It might not, doesn't have to, but hogs has a very clear pattern where it needs to fall here. If it doesn't, if it breaks above last Thursday's high, January 18th. If it pops above that high, forget it. It's going to go another $10 at least to the upside. But as of now, we're short hogs. We see them going lower, and we have, you know, that very discrete level where we'd actually flip to a long position. Cattle, you know, I don't have a super clear pattern, but it is overextended, and I have multiple patterns that would work that should take it down, but. I'd rather be short than long.
No, and of course I agree, but it does make it tougher. And then, of course, the dollar finally looks like it is starting to roll over. It looks, you know, fairly ugly, you know, from the move it had up. And what are you seeing in the dollar and in the euro?
Well, you know, I've been bearish the dollar for a while. It's doing what it should. I think we're headed down to the, you know, mid 90s. On our last talk, I thought it might consolidate for a while. The euro didn't necessarily look ready to break out. Euro broke a bearish pattern that we have, and now I'm just looking to buy back the euro in weakness, and you know, short more dollar futures on strength.
And that would make sense. And you know, what's anything out there really hitting you, like really hitting you in the face, saying, "Hey, this is something that we should be looking at."
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, something that would be a screaming buy or sell. Most things are sort of, you know, mid move right now. The only thing that I'm, you know, I have super high conviction about is being short to Russell 2000. Although we've now pulled back a bit. I'd like to see Russell pop back up, and I think it's we get a great opportunity to sell probably again. I think it's gonna pop up this week, and we'll get a chance to sell it. Say roughly 1380 to 1390, I think will be an excellent place to sell short. And an IWM that would be about 137, 138 would be a good place to get short.
Yeah, and then. Now, would you be surprised if the markets failed from right here? I mean, would you be surprised if we started to sell off from here?
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And that's really what I was trying to get to when we were talking earlier, is that even though I'm, you know, if I had to vote on it, I'd say we're, you know, we're going to grind higher. We're going to make these final target highs, and then we're going to have a massive sell off from there. That's the way I lean. I think that's what's going to happen. But there's just so many things that, you know, could derail that we, you know, everything's overextended. We're still at upper monthly Bollinger bands. You see what the commercials are doing with volatility, you know, et cetera, all the things we discussed. So I would not be surprised at all if it just, you know, fell out of bed.
Oh, right. I mean, again, there's a lot of things going on. And I mean, obviously, we know the data is not going to trigger it. And certainly now that we're starting into the height of earnings season, you know, we've seen, you know, all of a sudden Goldman Sachs sold off like $15 after having that huge rally. I mean, I think they've over-anticipated what actually can happen. And even if Trump is going to get these things done eventually, they're not getting done tomorrow. And I think that the street has over-anticipated a lot of the move in the financials. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as I know, that Goldman Sachs report was a very good report, and yet they fell on it. So when things stop moving up on good news, that's, you know, that's a bearish sign. I think that probably goes across the board, you know, for all the banks. I think, you know, the financials probably are overbought here and need to take a break.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at some point, I mean, you know, as they say, even a train stops at the station occasionally. And anything now, we haven't talked about the Aussie dollar for a while. Anything that you see in there?
Well, it's done really well this year. I mean, it's almost 5% since the beginning of the year. It still has room to run to the upside. Looking at what the commercials are doing, which I always like to do, they were heavily long at the beginning of the year. They've taken off more than half their position now. So there's a little bit more to run. They're still bullish, I think, and the price pattern we still have upside. I think we can get maybe as high as 80 cents to the dollar. Now probably coincide with the dollar, you know, hitting the dollar index hitting the mid 90s, say, you know, 94 ish. I think we could get up that high, and then I think it will turn back into a short.
Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. As always, great analysis. Thanks so much for being part of the show.
Todd, it's great to be here. Thanks a lot.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, and as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends, and then make sure that you do go to BubbaTrading.com, as you'll see some of Matt's work there as well. So make sure you check that out. That'll do it for today. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later. Bye.
Turn the noise down. Let this.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.